When we've been hurt, offended, or sinned against, there is a really subtle temptation that the enemy knows we're very vulnerable to. The temptation is to compare ourselves with the person who has sinned against us, to compare our good intentions with all of their horrible failings, to compare our decent track record with all of their awful crimes. And if we don't guard our hearts, the enemy will use that comparison to lead us into very dangerous places. Our hearts will become polluted by pride and self-righteousness. We'll judge harshly, with no mercy, no compassion. It's a horrible place to be. But we can avoid this temptation if we'll stay at the foot of the cross.
The thing that happened for me was I started to see Steve differently when God made real to me my desperate condition. Even though I was walking with the Lord, I just somehow through all of it, I saw my need. And it broke me and it helped me to see Steve right.
Coming up in this episode, Kathy Gallagher will talk about the peculiar danger that a betrayed wife faces and how to stay clear of the enemy's schemes. This is the Pure Life Ministries podcast. Thanks for joining us. Here we go. All right, so this is the sixth episode in our series, Hope for Hurting Wives with Kathy Gallagher. Thanks so much for coming in.
Glad to be here.
So Kathy, you had a pretty heavy burden, I think, in this chapter for the spiritual well-being of the wife. Mm-hmm. Let me just read a couple of short quotes from this chapter. You wrote, "There is a grave danger involved in the discovery that you are married to a sexual addict. The danger I'm talking about is not that you might lose your marriage or contract some deplorable STD. The peril I am referring to is how this painful news might affect you spiritually." And you also wrote, "The devil will not be content with destroying the soul of the husband alone. He wants to ruin both of your lives." What specific danger are you concerned about for hurting wives?
I was thinking about the bent or the thing that rises up in us is self-righteousness. It can rise up in us and just becoming prideful. It's not something that just happens all at once. I say this all the time. I feel like a broken record, but there is no easy way to go through this and there's no magic formula to do this. My own experience was all kinds of things that were happening to me. And I was definitely prideful. I was definitely self-righteous, but I was a lot of other things too. And the thing that happened for me, and I see this a lot in other women as well, is you're trying to do the right thing, but your emotions are so all over the place. And anger is a big deal for a lot of women. I would say most women deal with a lot of anger. Well, if that is not somehow managed and kept in check through prayer and just crying out to the Lord, the flesh just controls. It just does. And that's the danger. That's what happened to me. I just became very fleshly minded. I felt like I had the right to be angry. I had the right to try and correct Steve and make him do the right thing. I mean, I was kind of on the weak side of that. It wasn't a real strong temperament that way, but that was what was coming out of me. And I see it a lot in women. And in most of the wives I'm dealing with, the thing that is the most prominent is self-righteousness, that I'm not like that. I would never do something like that. And I get that. I wouldn't have either, but there's plenty of other things in us that the Lord has to deal with, and I don't ever want to give the impression that the Lord ordained this in their lives. He did not. This is the will of man at play, and yet the Lord will use it in our lives to help us to get our own hearts right, because stuff comes out of us. We get squeezed. This is a real squeezing. And when you get squeezed, what's in you that you didn't even know was there is coming out. And so we have to let God deal with us too.
Yeah, I thought you did something so well in this chapter, which was you laid out very clearly how the devil uses this situation to try and lead a woman down a very destructive spiritual path, you know, just like her husband, when he was a young kid, was hooked with pornography, and the devil's just using it to draw them away from God and into a life of sin. You were saying that this, in a sense, is that situation, that the devil can really use this to wreck women's spiritual lives. It's a perilous time for a wife.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit, how the devil uses this to draw women?
Yeah, I want to, there's a quote here from my book. The devil will not be content with destroying one soul. He wants both of you. And he's coming for you. You know, I mean, I don't mean to make it sound too ominous, but it's real. It's a real thing. And the emotional turmoil and pain can easily send us down a path just to ruin us. And for wives, it's so, man, they're to try and keep your life in balance, spiritually speaking, when you are reeling from the reality of what your husband's in, and you're not over here thinking, okay, but I want to keep, you know, I got to keep the secular and sacred in balance, you know. It isn't like that. Life, it just turned into, you're like in a blender. So my point and the things I talk about in my book or in a podcast or whatever I'm doing, I am always trying to encourage them to look at your life with God, because that is where your hope and your help and your answers are going to come from. It's not, you can't rely on your emotions and what you're going through emotionally. You have to let the Lord help you in it and invite him in, bring him in, and surrender. That's exactly what I would tell a man that's in sexual sin. You have to turn to the Lord. You can't just keep giving over to sexual sin and repenting every time you do that. It's like, okay, you start off there, but you don't stay there. Something has to change, and you are the one. You have to do the changing, and it's not magic. So I say the same things to wives from a different angle. Obviously, they're victims at some level. They are victims. There's no question about it. And yet, this is the subtlety of the enemy. He wants to use your victimhood to hook you and make you a slave to your feelings, your emotions, to whatever is raging in you. He wants you to be hooked and led astray too. And he does it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had mentioned how in the pain and the confusion and just like all the turmoil of what's going on, in a sense, it seems like what you're saying was that women almost, it's like you let your guard down spiritually, maybe, and your focus is so much on him that you're not seeing that things are happening inside of you, things like, you mentioned, pride, or this, you begin to elevate yourself above your husband, like, I'm better than him spiritually, I'd never do that, I'm...
It's the... Luke 18, you know, two people went down to the temple to pray, one a tax collector, a despised one, a sex addict, the other a Pharisee. And he prayed thus to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like that man. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. And that was a real turning point in my life because I started to see that. I started to realize. And I was so young. I was very young. I was in my young 20s. But God just came in and just started dealing with me about stuff. And he was showing me my heart. I'm like, I'm the victim. I'm the one that this was done to. But he was helping me to see what was going on in me. And I'm so grateful he did that. Because if I would have continued down that path, the things I did, the decisions I was making were so, so destructive. And I was leaving God without even realizing that's what I was doing. That is exactly what I was doing. And that was what the enemy wanted me to do, was walk away from the Lord, become so bitter, so hard-hearted, and so self-righteous that I couldn't even bear this sinner anymore. Well, that's not Christianity. So I had a lot of work to do in my own life. And, you know, I've said this before many times. I do not now, I can say this now, I don't have any regrets. I am not sorry at all for one day of what I went through, because it brought me to Christ. Through Steve's sin, I found out what a sinner I was. Mm. It was real to me, very real to me.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful.
Yeah, I know even for myself that it's very easy to lose sight of your own sinfulness when you see something that another person is doing, especially when what that person is doing is hurting you personally.
That's right.
And you zero in on that thing, and it's like the longer you focus on that, the less able you are to see that, man, I'm not better than them. You just start to, there's like a blindness that comes over your own spiritual life as you're judging them.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting in that place of judgment. And exactly what you talked about with the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee had a spiritual assessment of himself, mm-hmm, that was actually cutting him off,
right,
from the mercy of God.
That's right.
The mercy that he needed, he was building a wall in between himself and that mercy. And that's the thing you talked about in this chapter, especially when it comes to judging.
Mm-hmm.
It's very serious stuff. Like, we don't see it as very serious. Mm-hmm. We see adultery or pornography.
Right.
These are heinous sins.
Right.
But judging, it's really not that big of a deal.
It's a very big deal. It is such a big deal. And, you know, the thing in Luke 18 that Jesus was addressing was, okay, so if you read the Gospels with a real open eye, what you will see Jesus doing with the Pharisees is dealing with their self-righteousness. It was scathing at times what he was doing with their self-righteousness. It was almost like, in his mind, that was worse than the sexual sins. That they were dragging these women before crowds to stone them to death. The sin that she committed was nothing compared to what they were doing, this self-righteous, prideful, arrogant, I'm better than that attitude. And the Lord does not like that at all. It's a very, very dangerous spirit to get into. And you do end up cutting yourself off from the mercy of God for yourself. And you become hardened, calloused, and you don't even know what's happening to you. I have a, in chapter, I believe it's 5, there's a quote in here. The title of this section is called The Danger of Judging Others, but I want to read a quote. It's sort of lengthy, so hopefully people will listen. It is very good. It's very powerful. It really affected me the first time I read it. It really put me in my place. There are two kinds of judgment. One is of condemnation. The other is of mercy. The one is according to appearance and accusation of evil. The other is righteous judgment and according to truth and mercy. Jesus warns against the judgment which arises from fault-finding and condemning. The warning is this: you will be judged with your own judgment, and you will be measured with or in your own measure. The measure which you use for others is the very same measure which will be used for you. This is so serious a matter that it would seem as though all Christians would be overwhelmingly concerned over these words. But quite the contrary seems to be the fact. These words are quickly and easily forgotten by many. The reason is that the human heart is a judgment seat before which everyone passes who is seen or thought of. All day long you are sitting as judge in the court of your unseen heart. Unseen, that is, to men. Judging others ceaselessly all day, day by day, and sometimes by night, you are judging, measuring everyone and everything. You do not always need full and sufficient evidence because you love yourself. And in that self-love, you think that you know. You judge by whims and feelings and fancies, by what you like and by what you do not like. You are the center. Your judgment is according to what people do or do not do in your favor and for your glory and for your satisfaction.
Okay, real quick, let me just stop you there. I know there's more to read, but I just want to highlight again, that is a very potent passage or commentary on what Jesus was saying. Mm-hmm. We do not want to be in the place where Jesus looks at us and says, because you didn't show mercy, I'm not going to show you mercy.
Yeah, and this is real.
Yeah.
This isn't pretend, and there's really no squirming out of it. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it was the same thing that he said about forgiveness, right? If you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive you.
That's
there's going to be people who stand before God on Judgment Day. There's going to be wives who stand before God on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Because you did not forgive your husband, I will not forgive you. It makes sense why your burden is so strong in this chapter, why you were saying there's such danger.
Yeah, I think part of the issue for a lot of women is that the marriage is just so, so enormous in their minds and their lives, of course, but to the point that it has reduced down God's place and the Word of God's place in our lives. That, okay, there's a whole huge reset when you find out your husband's in sexual sin, and it's not like you're falling away from the Lord intentionally. You're not. That's not the point. But because the marriage and the issue becomes so enormous, the Lord does get kind of sidelined, and the Word of God gets sort of sidelined because we're so distracted and so devastated that that becomes huge. And that is kind of the thing that I'm always ranting about, is keeping the Lord central, keeping Him in the middle of it and not sidelining Him and His Word, so that you don't end up in this, because you can't do this without the Lord's help. You can't go through this without a lot of help from the Lord.
Yeah, and what he wants to help a wife do, or anyone who's been offended or hurt, is to learn how to respond in mercy toward the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the rest of that quote is about, right?
Yeah.
Were you going to read the rest of that?
Yes. So he says, but now look at the other side of it. If you judge according to mercy, you will find that mercy increasing. As to your measure, if you use on others the measure of mercy which God has used on you,
mm-hmm.
and that's important, then that mercy is what will be measured to you, and increasingly so. Look at the other side again. You will be judged with your own judgment. That will come back to you and shall be measured with your own measure. You will find that mercy is the only kind of judgment that you will want to bear or be able to bear. And that is so powerful. So, you know, it's like it makes you think about what is coming out of you. It's like a check.
Yeah, I know from my own life, the thing that really makes the difference when it comes to seeing someone in an atmosphere of mercy, or seeing them from a perspective of mercy, what makes the difference is that I'm aware of my own sin.
Yeah.
If I'm aware of my standing before God, my need, my dependence, how much He has been gracious and compassionate and long-suffering and patient with me, then I see people that way.
You have that kind of generosity towards other sinners. You are one. And if you realize that, if you understand what a great debt has been forgiven you, how can you not forgive? And, you know, that is kind of the heart of the gospel, is that to whom much has been forgiven, he loves much. And that is a very true thing. If you've been forgiven much, you can't help but love and forgive. And you want the restoration. You want that to happen. So
Yeah, and that's what happened for you, right? Like that's part of what happened for you when you were dealing with Steve was just that, okay, yeah, at the beginning it's like you handled it all wrong, but as you as God was showing you your own need, yeah. It just translated into, wow, then like I'm going to give the same mercy God's giving me to my husband.
At the cross, everything is level ground. We all come, sinners, broken, desperate for God to forgive us. I mean, that's really what we need. We need to be forgiven, and we're invited by the Lord to be forgiven. So when we receive that mercy from the Lord, it's, I mean, absolutely life-changing. Why wouldn't we offer that same mercy to our struggling husband? You know, I know, I'm a wife, been through it. I know what it's like. But the thing that happened for me was I started to see Steve differently when God made real to me, again, my desperate condition. Even though I was walking with the Lord, I just somehow through all of it, I saw my need. And it broke me and it helped me to see Steve right. It was almost like I was able to see what he was going through. I could see what he needed instead of seeing what I needed. I think that's the right way to say it. Somehow Jesus helped me to quit looking at myself and to see what he was going through because he was lost. I mean, if he continued down that path, I don't know where he would have ended up at. Well, yes, I do. If he would have continued down that path. And I think because the Lord was dealing with me and revealing things to me about me, it just gave me a different perspective of Steve. I just was able to see him differently than this man who's trying to destroy my life. It wasn't like that. He was entrapped. He was enslaved, willingly so, but he still was. And so when I saw my need for the Lord, when I saw I was a sinner too, I was just as lost. I may not have been doing the same sins, but I was just as lost. It changed the way I saw him and it changed the way I dealt with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were set free from a lot of different
things. From a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that that's your heart in the midst of all of the, it feels to me like there's almost two levels in a way. Mm-hmm. Like the one level is very serious, which is, again, if we judge with a severe judgment, we're going to get that judgment. And that's really the main thing that I know you want women to avoid is please do not treat your husband in a way that God ends up having to treat you.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
But on the secondary kind of temporal level, it is also that, man, mercy and forgiveness and compassion sets us free.
Yeah. It puts us in the same, sort of like we're experiencing what Jesus lives in.
Yeah.
You know, and which is just a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, a heart that does not judge, but is willing to do everything it can without compromising faith, without compromising a love for the Word of God and for truth. You know, you can do all of that. I know for women, because I are one, the emotions, man, I tell you, if there was a switch. And we say this about the men all the time. If they could flip a switch and quit wanting to be in lust and all that stuff, I wish they would flip the switch. Well, I'd say that about wives too. If you could flip the emotional switch and really learn how to find the Lord in His Word, that deserves a whole other podcast just talking about the Word of God. But
it's going to get one.
Oh, good. If they could become not so emotion driven, they could hear the Spirit of the Lord better. But it's the emotional life of a woman, the way our brains are wired, whether you're angry, bitter, you're just, you know, I'll do anything you say to make this work. You know, whatever your deal is, if you could just dial all that back and just let the Spirit of the living God direct you through His Word and give you the Spirit that Jesus is in. I know that we ask for that, but man, the emotions are powerful, but they lead us astray almost always. Almost always. And that's kind of my appeal. One of my appeals to women is to just try to turn it off because it's not helping anything.
Yeah. And just in closing, you know, one of those words that you're saying should rise above the emotions and govern the life is don't judge.
Yeah. Judge not, lest you be judged.
Yeah.
And with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back. Those are true words.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Nate.
All right. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Josh, and I'm on the video team here at Pure Life Ministries. For almost four decades, Pure Life Ministries has been coming alongside those whose lives have been devastated by sexual sin. If you want more information about our life-changing counseling programs and powerful teaching materials, just visit purelifeministries.org. And while you're there, make sure to check out our video clips of men and women whose lives have been radically transformed.